and why is it germane?
Well, it depends on the group. For example, WWF is one of the founders of the Forest Stewardship Council, which is works with logging and paper and that kind of thing. And they've been working on that for years and expanding it and getting it into more places and more countries and all that. And so that's why it's germane, is this is a part of the sort of the new conservation philosophy, is that if we target industry and we work with corporations, we can change the world. And while I think there's probably a certain segment of that that's true, I think it's more complicated than that. If you ignore governments too much, you're not going to change everything. The government is the only source that we have, really, of being able to do a blanket change in a country. And these kind of certification schemes sort of overlook the role of the government and allow governments to sort of continue doing what they're doing and say, well, we'll let the corporations have the control. Now, obviously, it's a very complicated situation, and I don't think there's really an easy answer. But I do think that certification schemes, there's been so much money, time, energy poured into this. And so far, there's been very little research on whether or not it actually works, how much better it is. And that in itself is troubling.
Well, it's a complex issue. You've definitely taken on a big topic. I highly recommend our listeners check out the piece in its entirety. Jeremy Hantz, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Freddie Hubbard and Johnny Cash. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.
Hey guys, Will Durst here from the balloon-strewn floor of the 41st Republican National Convention at the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, actually a hotel room about 30 miles east, but there's balloons here too. I brought some back. The best way to describe what went down this week is Trump-a-palooza. It was all Trump all the time, when it wasn't about Hillary, which was often. To say she wasn't getting hit with the happy stick is like intimating that Phoenix in August might creep up past balmy. Chris Christie was ready to persecute, prosecute, execute, play a flute, and electrocute her until she turned to ashes, which he personally sprinkled into the Cuyahoga River. And did you ever notice that even when he's addressing supporters, Christie always sounds like he's reading them their Miranda rights? Ben Carcinogenic actually accused Hillary of being a disciple of Lucifer. Wow, where do you go from there? Not a lot of wiggle room left. What happens if she kicks a puppy? Is she more eviler than Lucifer? And since not a lot of heavyweight Republicans were in attendance, organizers were forced to flood the stage with Trumps. It was downright Trumpalicious. On the first night, the third wife gave a speech in which she lifted large portions from someone else's first wife. On Tuesday, the daughter of the second wife addressed the assembled, along with the son of the first wife. On Wednesday, it was the other son of the first wife that waxed poetic, and on the closing night, the daughter of the first wife introduced the man himself. Then the show ended with the whole crew crowding the stage, including the son of the third wife, and I'm not sure, but I think maybe wives number one and number two and a couple of assorted mistresses snuck up there as well. The funny thing is, they're all blonde. Even the ones that aren't blonde are blonde, if you catch my drift. It was Trump-tastic, or Trump-atrocious, depending on your point of view. So now it's on to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love for Hillary Rama. And I don't know if it'll be as exciting, but there will definitely be better music and cheesesteaks and maybe George Clooney. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
Don't miss Jim Hightower, Will Durst, and Mary Standish comedy at the Chico Women's Club, Thursday, August 25th. It's a benefit for KZFR. More information available at kzfr.org.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Log Arrow Marketing Services, helping businesses, associations, and nonprofits stand out with outside-the-box promotional products. Whether it's branded apparel for your staff or an event or promotional products with a purpose, Log Arrow tailors programs to meet its clients' needs. To learn how Log Arrow can help your organization through target marketing, visit logarrow.com or call 355-8685. And by Raw Tree Care and Preservation. With over 14 years of experience, Raw Tree Care has been providing high-quality services at affordable prices. Raw Tree Care and Preservation is licensed, bonded, and insured, and can be reached by calling 321-4576 or by email at protreeclaimer@hotmail.com. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino. Today, I'm happy to welcome back Danny Toms as my co-host. He's filling in for Robert Jones, who is still off somewhere that is not Chico. Welcome back, Danny. Thanks for filling in.
I just can't quit you.
What do we have planned for the listeners today?
Tonight on Non-Human Radio, we're going to talk about how vegan the world is, what happened when an animal shelter offered foie gras as part of a fundraiser, and the emergency evacuation of the farm sanctuary shelter in Acton due to the Big Sand Fire incident in Southern California. All of that and the vegan calendar events coming up. Take it away, Jeannie.
So Animal Place, the Grass Valley-based animal sanctuary, reports that Pets Lifeline of Sonoma County, a nonprofit animal rescue group in Sonoma County, removed foie gras and duck from its fundraising auction after numerous animal advocates contacted them to protest. The organization, Pets Lifeline of Sonoma County, still intends to serve other animals at its fundraising dinner. Pets Lifeline is a humane education center that saves, according to its website, dogs, cats, goats, and other animals. But really, in order to align its menu with its mission, Pets Lifeline needs to stop serving dead animals as a means to help other animals. So this is a very common scenario, and one that even our local shelters and animal groups are guilty of all the time. They consider some animals worthy of saving and protecting because they are companions, and consider other animals only to be kept alive until they are served for dinner or their egg and milk supply run low. And yet, as we've talked about before, chickens, cows, pigs, and all the other typical farm animals are cognitively and emotionally similar to dogs and cats. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's on one hand, it's especially tone deaf, but it's also quite common. And I think it's a good route to start the sort of discussion, because you're dealing with people who are activists and who do care about animals. And usually those are the most interesting discussions with them, as how could you be doing this? Foie gras in particular is especially tone deaf, so I'm surprised that they came up with that out of the blue.
Yeah, I was looking at the board of directors of that particular shelter, and there are farmers and ranchers on that.
Right. I think we've had these talks for years about, you know, the Sierra Club and these sorts of issues occurring over and over again, and I think that's, you know, for local activists, that's a great place to make sort of an immediate impact and have a discussion. It's not a hard thing not to do, and it forces the organization to really consider and respond and try to align what their mission is.
Yeah, I agree. A couple of weeks ago, Robert and I were talking about the Yulin dog meat festival that goes on in China, and the outrage that elicits in Americans who just can't comprehend the idea of a dog being eaten. And yet, vegans and animal rights organizations, we realize that it's very speciesist not to consider a dog, a cat, a cow or a pig as the equivalent of a dog.
Right. I believe there's, well, suddenly my voice changed. I believe there's, there are you know, rescue organizations that go to Southeast Asia and bring back, you know, fly dogs all the way back to America because of, you know, what's going to happen to them. And it's terrible and it's tragic. But to you and I, we're like, it's the same thing that's happening every day with just animals you don't happen to call your pets. Not to mention the amount of resources that then get involved in sort of these sort of token yeah. gestures, which really, if you could get to the heart of these people and what they believe in, you know, they could affect so much more change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I just wanted to recap for our listeners. For our listeners who may not know, foie gras means is French for fatty liver. And it's a luxury food product made from the liver of a duck or goose who's been specially and very cruelly fattened by a process called gavage. And that is where they take a metal pipe attached to a pump, and they shove it down a duck's esophagus
and
every day.
Let's notice how they just wrap that up behind a nice word so that it seems much less horrible.
The foie gras. It makes it sound
gavage,
elegant.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, and gavage, yes. Well, it's
sure.
So these ducks are kept in pens with maybe 7 to 9 ducks. At least that's the video I saw. And a employee will go into these pens once a day and get this pipe and grab a duck and open its tip its head kiss. So eventually you do this for long enough and you end up with an animal with a very grossly enlarged and fatty liver. So historically in California, foie gras was outlawed in California as of 2012, but the law on the basis that federal regulations supersede California regulations. So it's illegal, but it is illegal, that is not illegal. It's an allowable thing that animal lovers protested, massive animal lovers protesting. And that's what happened.
Exactly.
So to resume the story, Animal Place saw this fundraiser being promoted online on Facebook and probably elsewhere. Hypocrisy of saving some animals but eating other animals, particularly for, as you say, a really cruel... So after just a day of pressure, the Pets Lifeline of Sonoma County dropped this auction item. And Animal Place is continuing the going on, and they still serve animals.
But I mean, it's nice that they had that immediate impact anyway, because many groups, and maybe this plants a thought in their mind going forward.
I'm sure if you've been burned once on an event like this in social media, you will think twice or thrice the next time you plan to put foie gras or caviar or some essentially luxury.
It does. In general, does that belong at a fundraiser where you're trying to raise money, you're spending?
So this is a good time to talk about Animal Place's program called Food for Thought, which helps and encourages humane societies for their fundraising and sponsored events. So the process is to try and get these shelters to update their bylaws, vegetarian or vegan items for fundraisers.
I mean, we can get vegan food on an airplane now.
Yeah. So, and also longtime non-human radio listeners may remember the Food for Thought program and had John Joe, and he talked about how rewarding it was. Now have dozens of groups signed up nationwide and more on the way. So,
yeah, Jonathan's great.
For that website, and there are actually quite a few groups in California, which makes sense because Animal Place is based in Grass Valley. It is, but the Sacramento and San Francisco SPCA, the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelters are all signed up for this program, which is just, it's just great. But it makes me sad because, as far as I know, no animal rescue groups. And so I'd love to see the Butte Humane Society, I'm calling you out, take on this pledge to serve vegan or vegetarian food at its fundraisers. It's just fundamentally contradictory.
Yeah, and if they're somehow beholden to the local agriculture business is perhaps donating money, and that we can have our own fundraisers and offset that.
Yeah, that'd be great. And just a heads up, too, there's a paid job opening for the Food for Thought program. They're looking for a California and Southwest coordinator on a part-time contract, remote position basis, so you don't have to be based in Grass Valley. And you can find out more about the job on their careers page at Animal. If you just tuned in, this is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. You're listening to Non-Human Radio with hosts Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms. So next up, we're going to talk about a recruit named Andrew Kirshner. His blog is Kirshner's Corner. He had a post that summarized the results from a few recent surveys on veganism in the United States, and he was examining them to see what kind of trends they revealed. So I'm not going to recite a lot of numbers or trend numbers or percent. A poll commissioned by the Vegetarian Resource Group in 2016, so very current, And similar polls in the past 20 years have shown roughly vegans being created.
However, population has continued to increase.
And it would be interesting to look at the age range of these vegans, like how many of them are old, like me,
right.
or teenagers, like we had Charlotte Roberts as a co-host many weeks ago, who was a high school senior going off to college. So I just think that's kind of fascinating. And
I think you can't affect change without keeping track of the data, right? So the data is very important in these things to keep your eye on it.
Yeah. So, and additionally, while it seems that many more people are eating vegan or vegetarian meals, that poll and others don't examine whether people will continue eating vegan or vegetarian meals and at what rate they might switch out. So he provided a chart that showed the kinds of things that people need to stop eating animals, to stay not eating animals long term. So specifically, the factors that were identified were that people seem to have trouble identifying with the vegan lifestyle, and not surprisingly, they don't like sticking out in a crowd or sticking out among their peers. So it appears that the social part of being vegan is a big concern, right? So, and also we've talked on the show about all the new and delicious vegan food that's now available from places like Safeway, Target, and Walmart, and of course at our natural food stores. We had a whole show about Ben and Jerry's vegan ice cream. Yum. So it's important to realize that, my takeaway is that it's important to realize that the sale of these foods doesn't necessarily mean that more people are eating plant-based food. I'm taking more of a downer approach to these numbers.
Yeah, I was gonna contradict you here whenever you're ready.
But maybe it just means that existing vegans have more choices and they're buying this stuff.
I think if you go back to your first point that it's social pressure, having mainstream products definitely reduces social pressure. So, and the availability of these products in the mainstream is pretty recent. So I think long term, it's a great strategy to normalize vegan food.
Okay.
Even and especially they sell it without plastering vegan all over it. So maybe then, you feed somebody this ice cream and later they're like, "You, by the way, that was vegan," and they're like, "Oh, it was good." And suddenly you're not thinking vegans are long haired freaks screaming in the street.
Yeah. I guess one of our reviews of the Ben and Jerry's ice cream is that if you didn't know it was vegan, you wouldn't guess that it was vegan,
right?
So, and I think people have had that experience with some other the fake meat stuff.
I mean, so many high schools have options now. It used to definitely, I think, new vegans were always a certain age range, right? When you were able to have a little of your own money, get out of house, get information. Now you have the internet earlier. You have supermarket products you can buy with your parents. So I like to think that's positive. That's not the only thing. The goal is not to, eat ice cream, of course.
I just hope that it's not that just vegan food is a market sector. Do you know what I mean?
I'm happy if it's a growing market sector.
Okay. All right. So I guess maybe we're too early in analyzing these trends, especially for these.
Would you have guessed I would be the positive voice today?
No, you're usually the voice of reason, which means that you ground me from when I get too optimistic. So additionally, Kirshner referenced a 2015 study that was commissioned by an animal group. It's an animal data and research group called Faunalytics, Faunalytics, that revealed that 84% of vegetarians and vegans, so this is my downer, return to eating animals, most of all among people who said that they gave up eating animals for health reasons. So they conducted a survey and they said, are you vegan or vegetarian or plant-based? And they'll say yes or no. And if no, they'll say, have you ever been? And they'll say yes. And then they'll say, why did you give it up? Or why did you try to do this diet? And they'll say, for health reasons. And then they say,
I think,
couldn't stick to it.
I think we've talked so much about healthitarians, as we would call them, right? In any forms of vegan activism, we're always trying to tread the line between the different mixes of people that want to get engaged, because somewhat cynically, we know when people show up for their health reasons, we know they're going to be sort of loud and maybe not scientifically correct, and that they're probably going to disappear in a few months. Also, if you think about the statistics, people that go vegan for health reasons stop being vegan even though it's against their health. So are these people making wise decisions anyway?
That's true. That's true. And you know, I often have commented that lactose intolerance is pretty common in human populations, especially among Asians and I believe among African Americans. And yet, ice cream sales do just fine. So there are a lot of people consuming these products, even though it bothers the heck out of their stomachs.
I have relatives without pancreases and who are not supposed to eat fatty foods or ice cream, and they still do and throw up every other day because of it.
Oh, man.
But it's a tough it's a tough addiction.
So anyway, just I guess hopefully the folks who are considering going vegan do it slowly. I think that's can often be a hazard, like this revelation of animal cruelty and wanting to disengage from it and jumping both feet in into the water, and then you find out you can't swim very well, and then it doesn't work.
It's always talked about as a transition, make a plan, because, you know, the convenience factor. Most people don't cook anymore. They have a very convenient factor. I'm going to grab this off the shelf and throw it in the microwave, and when you can't do that, or you got to go find the vegan product in the weird corner of the freezer in your supermarket, you have to rediscover that and give yourself some time to figure it out.
Yeah, so I guess if our potlucks are great because we give each other cues on the good stuff. Our Facebook Chico Vegan group is really good for giving heads up on...
Our potlucks are great. I think the last potluck, that's like a $25 a head buffet.
It was really good. It was good. And then the
other thing we don't charge, you just bring a meal.
Yeah, it's free. The other thing I just want to... the other sticking point is like eating out. So one resource we have in Chico is at chicovegan.com. We have a guide to vegan-friendly restaurants in the Chico area. So we list a bunch of restaurants and how to order vegan. So that's always good to have in your back pocket to have done a little research before you go out to eat. Then you don't have any social angst or social embarrassment about not being able to get a vegan meal.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Well, that's good. All right. So I guess we sort of... I think you lifted up my spirits a little bit. Thank you very
much. That's what I'm here for, Jeannie.
So our last story is the news that Farm Sanctuary's Acton facility in Southern California had to be evacuated this weekend due to the massive sand fire incident, which has burned more than 37,000 acres in Santa Clarita in the Angeles National Forest. So the fire affected not only Farm Sanctuary, but another animal rescue group, Wildlife Way Station, in Tujunga. So both Farm Sanctuary and Wildlife Way Station evacuated the rescued animals over the weekend. Wildlife Way Station, which specializes in wild animals such as mountain lions, bears, coyotes, and other smaller cats. They have some African cats, too, for some reason. They evacuated on Saturday, and Farm Sanctuary evacuated on Sunday, the 24th. So, yeah, it went really well. At Wildlife Way Station, because they have lions and tigers and big, dangerous animals, they actually had to sedate the animals in order to move them into basically horse trailers that were reinforced with cages. And wow. Those critters are being housed in special private facilities.
I think it's a terrible thing, obviously, and it's disruptive, but I think it's amazing that they executed the evacuation plan, that they had an evacuation plan. I think many sort of... backyard breeders or roadside zoos, or we have certain places like that around here, or people that are like, well, I'm saving 20 horses and I keep them in my backyard or whatever, and they have no plan if there's a fire or if they run out of food, and it's just a disaster, and it's kind of like having a kid or having a pet. There's a whole chain of responsibility you have to plan for, and that's what it means to be a sanctuary.
Yep. Farm Sanctuary evacuated on Sunday, and they're smaller than our sanctuary, than the Farm Sanctuary here in Orland. They had 104 animals, and all the cattle and pigs and the sheep ended up at the Antelope Valley Fairground, which was the mandated large animal temporary shelter. And the horses and birds were all relocated off-site to private facilities. And they will return to the sanctuary once conditions are safe in terms of air quality, ambient air temperature, because it's hot down there right now, like it is here. And, of course, that the fire is safely contained. So, yeah, so they're being monitored at the large animal emergency evacuation facility 24/7 in terms of care and also security. And L.A. County Animal Services manages the overall evacuation shelter.
It didn't even occur to me that even, you know, smoke would be a huge hazard to the birds and to the smaller animals.
Yeah, they evacuated the birds first because of birds are extremely vulnerable to air pollution and poor air quality. So I just want to say this is a... and there's no damage to farm sanctuary's facilities or structures. So once they get the make the decision to go back, it's all clear. So, and I just want to point out that we have a great local organization that I'm really proud to share and that people should know about, and that's the North Valley Animal Disaster Group, also known as NAVDAG. NAVDAG is an all-volunteer group based in Butte County, and they have good relationships with all the emergency services, CAL FIRE, public health. And they do two things. One, they educate the public about disaster preparedness. So don't rescue 20 dogs or 20 horses unless you have a safe place and that you know that you're not at a risk of being evacuated. And if you do have to evacuate, have a plan. So, yeah. So if you have an animal like a horse or pig or llama, please work with that animal and make sure that they're able to be trailered and moved off your property to someplace safe. And then also network with your friends in the valley so that you have your own evacuation location for them. Don't rely on the public mandatory animal evacuation shelter to be set up in time. They do a great job of maintaining a safe facility, but it's always better to have full control over your own animal.
It's such an important group, and it's so important up here where we have, you know, so many smaller towns in the hills. Not only should people be prepared to evacuate their animals, they should clear fire breaks as they're supposed to.
Yep.
You should have cat carriers if you have cats. There's a lot of things to consider. You just don't want to be cut off in those fires.
So, yeah, so... and NAVDAG also has evacuation teams. So if you get stuck working in the valley on the floor, like in Chico, and you live up in Paradise and you can't get past a fire line because they've closed it, NAVDAG does have trained evacuation teams to get your animals out. So that's awesome. Where it's really important that they're able to manage your animal, right? If the dog is not manageable or if your horse is kind of wild and hard to manage or can't even get a halter on him, that becomes an animal that is very difficult to rescue.
Definitely.
So, I encourage our listeners to check out NAVDAG online at nvadg.org, or you can call them and get information at 895-0000. And let's hope they don't have to be activated this summer. So that's all I have for news. I think, what do we have coming up next?
Now it is time for the Non-Human Radio Weekly Calendar of Events.
Okay, we'll just... go through this really quickly because we're short on time. The main thing I want to point out is on Saturday, July 30th from 4 to 6 p.m., vegan drinks and happy hour at Tres Hombres. That's it. 4 to 6 p.m., Tres Hombres, vegan drinks, just socialize and meet some other vegans.
Everybody likes Tres Hombres.
Yeah. So I think we're about out of time today. And it was a busy news week, so it was just really great bringing up and talking about these issues and with you, Danny.
It's always a pleasure, Jean.
So, and we have one last bit of business to take care of.
The Animal Rights Subversive Thought of the Week, which is from Melanie Joy, the author of Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows. To identify with others is to see something of yourself in them, and to see something of them in yourself, even if the only thing you identify with is the desire to be free from suffering.
That is so important, to reach out and have compassion. Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZ.